All right, so we're getting here on the top of Tedamud Aleph by the Mishnah. Sukkah Yishana, Beit Shammai Poslim, or Beit Hillel Machshirim. You have a Sukkah, as Yishana means that it existed prior to Chag HaSukkot, prior meaning before 30 days before Sukkot. Beit Shammai says it's problematic, or Beit Hillel Machshir, Beit Hillel says it's totally fine. Vezihi Sukkah Yishana, Kosh HaSak, Hodom Lechag 30 Yom. Anything that was made or built more than 30 days before Chag HaSukkot, the assumption being that anything that's built within 30 days of Chag HaSukkot, the default is that it was L'shem Sukkah, because you're already Sholim V'Dorshim B'Chilchot HaChag. So your mind is already on Chag HaSukkot, and because of that, the default is that you built it for the holiday of Sukkot. Whereas if you build it more than 30 days prior to Sukkot, the default is the other way. The default is that you're not building it for Sukkot, unless you state otherwise. And therefore, we assume that you just built it for shade, you built it for whatever reason you wanted. About, you misal the shem chag, but if you make it the shem chag, afilu mitchilat ha-shana k'shera. Even from the beginning of the year, it's okay, as long as you have in mind, in particular, that it's made for Sukkot. What's interesting here is that we have a machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel over here, and then the Mishnah goes on to explain the position of Beit Shammai, who are not going to paskin like. According to Beit Hillel, none of this matters, because Beit Hillel says the Sukkah Yishana is totally fine. So why do you need to know about 30 days Tehillat HaShana? All that information is only relevant according to Beit Shammai. So Tosafot gives two reasons. He says, first of all, in the Yushalmi, it makes it sound like Beit Hillel actually has a nafkamino that dirabanan. They believe that you do need to have a sukkah that is l'shem achag. Midoraita, they believe that it's not an issue, but midirabanan, you do have to do something about it, and therefore might have to be mechadesh bavdavar, you have to change something about the sukkah in order to update it. If the sukkah was not made l'shem sukkot, then you can update it by making a small change, lifting up the schach, doing something to making a difference in the sukkah. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is Tosafot says, we only ask the question of why we're discussing the pshita of Beit Shammai if other Tanaim get involved in discussing Beit Shammai. But over here where the Mishnah is discussing the core shita of Beit Shammai, it's going to explain to you what their shita is, even though we're not going to paskin that way. Right, my time at the Beit Shammai. What's the reason behind Beit Shammai's position? Number Krah. Chag HaSukkot, Shivat Yamim LaShem. Sukkah, Asuya L'Shem Chag, Be'inan. We need a sukkah that's made particularly for the Chag HaSukkot. So that's why you say Chag HaSukkot, Shivat Yamim LaShem. So there, the sukkah has to be L'Shem HaChag, has to be made for Chag HaSukkot. And that's why they believe you have to do it L'Shem Sukkot. Beit Hillel, how me violate it with Rav Sheshet? They need that pasuk for the limit of Rav Sheshet, Amar Rav Sheshet Mishum Rav Akiva. Minayin Latzei Sukkah, Shasurim Kol Shiva. How do I know that the schach of the sukkah is asur all 7 days? Tamalomar Chag HaSukkot Shivat Yamim LaShem. Betanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteir Omer Kishem Shechal Shem Shemayim Al HaChagigah Kach Chal Shem Shemayim Al HaSukkah. So we're going to look at the two items separately, Chag and Sukkot. And each item has to be LaShem, has to be done L'Shem HaShem for the mitzvah Tamelech, for what HaShem commands. Beit Shammai is looking at it and saying, well, it says Chag HaSukkot, and then you have to be L'Hashem. There they are focusing on L'Hashem, modifying the sukkah, and saying that for the sukkah made for the chag has to be L'Shem HaShem. On the other hand, the Beit Hillel's position is that chag and sukkot are two separate items, and they both have to be L'Shem HaShem. Chag referring to the korbanot chagigah that you have to bring. They have to be brought L'Shem HaShem, L'Shem Mitzvat HaMelech. And then the schach is also L'Shem HaShem. According to Beit Hillel, what does it mean it has to be L'Shem HaShem? They don't think that the sukkah has to be done L'Shem Sukkot. So they say that once you've designated something to be either a chagigah or to be for schach, then it becomes muksala davar. It's designated for that item and it cannot be changed. That means once the chagigah is designated as a chagigah, it's a sur until you put the emurim on the mizbeach. So too the schach is L'Shem HaShem. As long as it's functioning as schach over Sukkot, then it's L'Shem HaShem, and you can't utilize it for your own personal reasons. So because of that, Beit Hillel says the Chag and Sukkot are modified by L'Hashem. On the other hand, Beit Shammai says it has to be Sukkah L'Shem HaChag, because it says Sukkot L'Hashem. The Chag and Sukkot, but the Sukkot part of it has to be L'Hashem, meaning that you have to make the Sukkah itself L'Shem HaShem. So that's the way Beit Shammai learns it, that's the way Beit Hillel learns it. Because they learn it from this din of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, Kashem Shechal Shem Shemayim Al Chagigah, Kachal Shem Shemayim La Sukkah, Shneemar, Chag HaSukkot, Shivat Yamim La Shem, Ma Chag La Shem, Af Sukkah La Shem. It's not the utilization of the Sukkah, but rather the object, the chefetz itself of the Sukkah. which is by the Chagigah, we're talking about the Chepetz of the Chagigah, which is restricted now until it's brought on the Mizbech. The Schach of the Sukkah will remain restricted. It's not the utilization, it's not your ability to benefit from the Sukkah, it is the Schach itself, the Chepetz, that takes on a certain level of Kedusha. Now, what's interesting, and this is Tosafot takes this up and says, why do I need this at all? Because it makes it sound like here that the schach itself is asur mi deoraita now. You're not allowed to touch the schach mi deoraita for 7 days. Yet, in other places, like in the Gemara and Shabbat, it makes it sound like it's only asur mi derabanan. It's a problem because it's mukta machmat mitzvah, which is that ben hashmashot coming into Sukkot, you had in mind that this is going to be the schach of the sukkah, because migo de mitzkatze, the ben hashmashot, it's mitzkatze the Sukkot. And that is, has to do with the schach, but that sounds like it's a mukta derabanan. So Tosafot gives some interesting answers. He says, "V'yishlamar dehayda asur mi deraita hainu ba'uda kayemet." That's only when it's still functioning as schach. So asur li tomi menu eitzim. As long as it's on the roof, you can't reach up and pick off something from the schach. That's the isur deraita. Aval kishinafla. What happens if the schach falls then? So now, once it falls, in terms of functioning and being a chayfitz of sukkah, it's no longer that because it's fallen down. So there, it's not an isur deraita anymore. B'teila mitzvata. Because the mitzvah is gone, lo asira elemi drabanan. That's when the muksa side kicks in. That's when the din drabanan kicks in, is after the skach has fallen. Once the skach has fallen, it remains muksa because it was designated for the purpose of skach. So that'll be the two levels. That's one way that Tosafot deals with it. The Rabbeinu Tam Mefarish, the itzim shel kedei hakshir sukkah chayda kedusha layu, asiri midoraito. The Rabbeinu Tam has an interesting view. He says that the minimum shir of a sukkah is a 7x7 area. That area, which is the sukkah midoraita, has a din of the schach being a sur midoraita. Anything that's bigger than that is already benefit bonus that you put into the sukkah. That's only a sur midrabanan. Now, it's very interesting because how do you determine where the 7x7 piece is the din doraita? That's number one. Number two is, you're going to be yotzei doraita in this sukkah no matter where you sit in the sukkah. To say that only a certain part of it has schach, that has the mukse doraita, also is very interesting, because the sukkah for you is functioning to be yotzei, the mitzvah doraita. Sitting anywhere in the sukkah, you could be doraita. So it's a very interesting Rabbeinu Tam to suggest that there's such a distinction within the sukkah. So that's another way to explain it. And then they have to deal with the noyei sukkah. I'm not going to get involved with that. That's also the Gemara in Shabbat deals with the noyei sukkah, which also have a din of muksa, and how that's distinct or different than the schach itself. But here, Tosafot is at least trying to figure out what the din d'oraita is versus the din d'rabanan that we know about the schach of the sukkah. Ubeit Shammai nami b'ba'ile lohochi. Wait, doesn't Beit Shammai also need that limud of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira? It says, enoch nami. Ela matamayu de Beit Shammai. What's the reasoning behind Beit Shammai's position? Tivkara achrina. They have another pasuk, which is, Chag HaSukkot, Taseh Lecha Shiv'at Yamim. Sukkah HaSuya L'Shem Chag Be'inan. So again, Chag HaSukkot, Taseh Lecha. You should make the Chag HaSukkot means the Sukkah should be L'Shem HaChag. That's why it's modified by the Chag. Chag HaSukkot, Taseh Lecha means make a Sukkah L'Shem HaChag. Dilel, how we buy little sim Sukkah B'Chol Shom Oed. That comes to teach you that you can make a Sukkah during Chol Oed because Chag HaSukkot, Taseh Lecha Shiv'at Yamim. In the entire 7 days, you can build a sukkah. Even if you didn't build a sukkah beforehand, you can build it on any of the 7 days of Chol HaMoed. Beit Shammai Sfiruluk, Rabbi Eliezer. Beit Shammai doesn't think that's the case. They hold like Rabbi Eliezer, Demarino Sim Sukkah B'Chol HaMoed. You can't make a sukkah on Chol HaMoed because you need a sukkah l'shiv'ah. You need a sukkah that's going to be there for the entire 7 days. If it's not there for the entire 7 days, it's not a sukkah. So that is the position of Beit Hillel, and that is the position of Beit Shammai. So until now we have a layout of this machloket. We have Beit Shammai saying that if number one, a sukkah has to be done l'shem Chag HaSukkot, he does believe that the schach of the sukkah is muksa based on the first pasuk that we brought. Beit Hillel believes that number one, the schach is muksa midoraita based on the pasuk. Number two is that you can build a sukkah all 7 days. You don't have to build it prior to Sukkot. If you don't have a sukkah, you can build it during Sukkot. Whereas Beit Shammai says that doesn't work. And lastly, Beit Hillel says there's no such thing as a sukkah, l'shem Chag HaSukkot. As long as it's made l'shem tzel, you can use that sukkah on the holiday. Ubel Beit Hillel, late lehu, de Rabbi Yehuda, amarav. Beit Hillel doesn't hold the Rabbi Yehuda amarav. Dam Rabbi Yehuda amarav. Asa min hakotzim, umin hanimim, umin hagardim, psula. So here we're talking about not sukkah, but rather tzitzit. So when it comes to tzitzit, you're now allowed to make it from the three items here. You're not allowed to make it from the kotzim. The kotzim are like a coat that sticks out. If you had a thread that ripped in the middle, and then you tie it together, you knot it back together to put them back together, you get a bump in the weave because of that threading or that knotting back together. But that knotting back together that allows or has a string hanging from it, you can't use all of those. Nimim is a string that comes from the hem that you put at the bottom of the beged. When you finish off the weave, you put something along the bottom, or you stitch along the bottom to hold in the weave. That hem, if you have a string that's hanging out from it, oh, minagardim is from the end of the loom. If you weave a beged, and then you finish off the beged, that which is hanging from the bottom of the beged, the end of that weave, those are the kotzim that's hanging down. Those are all psula for tzitzit. Any one of those strings that are hanging are no good. Minasisim kshera. On the other hand, if you take from a ball of thread that you use from the side, you didn't put it in the beged yet, it's just a ball of thread, then it's kshera. Now, why would you have thought otherwise? Ki amrita kamei d'Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda learned by Rav, and later by Shmuel, when he learned by Rav, Rav said that if you take from the kiot, if you take from those balls of weaving thread, that's fine. When I said it before Shmuel, I'm really afi nasisim nami psula. Even this psisim is problematic, debin it's via lishma, because it has to be twisted for lishma. So here we're talking about tzitzit, and making tzitzit lishma. Rav and Shmuel are unequivocal that the string that you put into the beged has to be specifically put in there, l'shem tzitzit. If you don't put it in l'shem tzitzit, then it's not tzitzit. To utilize any one of those strings that we mentioned before, those strings are part of the beged, and now you're trying to co-opt them to be the tzitzit. That doesn't work, because that string is a part of the beged. It's not tzitzit that you put into the beged. And the only way it can be kasher is you do it lishma. You do it l'shem tzitzit. How far does that go? Rav says it's enough that you tie the string in there, l'shem tzitzit. Shmuel says, even the string itself, the thread itself you're going to use for the tzitzit, has to be made lishma. Made lishma means how far back. It could be spun lishma, it could be twined lishma. And over here, that's what he says, the tfiyah. It has to be twisted when they make the string, when they're making the ply of the string and they twist it, that has to be done lishma. That's why the ball of thread that's sitting on the side is no good, because that was just a ball of thread that you're going to use for any beged. It's not specifically made for the tzitzit. But what you see here is that when it comes to a mitzvah that you're going to actively do, it has to be done l'shem, the mitzvah has to be done lishma. So, nahachanami, nibai sukkah asuya lishma. Why is sukkah different than tzitzit? Now, both of these mitzvot are unique in the Torah, because in general, when the Torah tells us to do a mitzvah, it says do the mitzvah. In both of these instances, the way the Netziv phrases it, this is a hechsher mitzvah that's mentioned in the Torah. The making of the object is demanded by the Torah. You have to make sukkot, the Torah says. You have to make tzitzit, the Torah says. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to wear tzitzit. The mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah. But despite that fact, the Torah has a demand that you actually make the sukkah and you make the tzitzit. If by tzitzit we make a demand that it has to be lishma, because the Torah says to make it, then so too by sukkah. Why doesn't Beit Hillel say it has to be made l'shem sukkah when the Torah says to make it? So Gemara says, shani hotam. Over there it's different. Over there you have a pasuk that says you must make the tzitzit for yourselves. L'cho l'shem chovcha. So Gemara says, hachanami. Same thing over here. Chaga sukkot taseh l'cho. L'cho l'shem chovcha. The same demand that you have by tzitzit, you have by sukkah. So why isn't Beit Hillel consistent? You're right, that the word chag is there, but the Gemara clearly doesn't read it that way. It reads chag sukkot to mean sukkot, make for yourselves. Beit Shammai already darshan the pasuk that way. That's how they got to the fact that it has to be lishma. But the Gemara wants to clarify, how come Beit Hillel doesn't see that problem in the pasuk that Beit Shammai sees? So Gemara is going to answer the time we buy you, the mute gezula. That comes to exclude a stolen sukkah. So therefore, the lacha, the possessive form over there, doesn't mean that you must make it, but rather, it has to be yours. Or you have to be at least permission to be in there. So hatam nami baile limute gzula. Tzitzit has the same problem. You can't steal a pair of tzitzit and then wear them. You have to have your own tzitzit. So if that's the case, l'cha over here is not a command to make them, but rather a command of possession. They must be yours in order to accomplish the mitzvah. Where it says, hatam kreativ krach rina. By tzitzit you have two commands that you should make them. One is vasulahem, that you have to make, and then gedilim taseh l'cha. So both of those psukim of Asulahem Tzitzit and the Gdilim Taselecha, there you have two possessive forms. One possessive form to tell you that you have to make it lishma. The other possessive form to tell you you have to own it. It has to be yours and not stolen. On the other hand, by sukkah, you only have lecha once. You only have that possessive form once. That comes to exclude gezula. Therefore, there's nothing left over to deal with the issue of Lishem Chag or Lishma. Therefore, you don't have to do it Lishma. Now, this is a huge issue. I'll note it over here. We'll get to the main sugya when we get to Lulav HaGazol. But over here, Tosafot raises the issue, why do I need the pasuk at all? Don't we have a principle of mitzvah hababa veira is problematic? Here, you steal something, and then you do the mitzvah. You have a mitzvah hababa veira. It should be disqualified because it's a mitzvah hababa veira, not because you need a pasuk to tell you that if you steal something, it doesn't work. Tosafot is mechadesh something here that's unbelievable, which is mitzvah baba veira is a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'oraita. And therefore, you need the pasuk over here because otherwise it would only be a problem d'rabbanan. You want to have a problem d'oraita, you need a pasuk. Real problem is, Tosfot in Lulav HaGazol says straight out that mitzvah baba veira is a din d'oraita, not a din d'rabbanan, and that's the way it sounds from the Gemara later on in the Masechta. So because of that, this Tosfot is very problematic or challenging. But here, Tosafot, in order to dig himself out of the problem, says that it must be that it's the Rabbanon over here and not the Oraita, and that's why you need the Psukim over here. I'll defer the discussion of Mitzvah Baba Avera until then, because the sugya is taken up much more by the Rishonim in Lulav HaGazol, but I just want you to know the Tosafot, because it's an unbelievable Tosafot who here suggests that Mitzvah Baba Avera is only a Din de Rabbanan.
So in terms of halacha,
Sukkah Yishana is kasher. But we are choshesh for this tzad of Beit Hillel that says midrabanan, it should be made l'shem sukkah. Tosafot mentions over here, even though Beit Hillel is makshirim, b'yushalmi itnei, tzarech l'chadesh badavar. You have to be mechadesh something in it. Correct. So if you made it once, then do you have to be mechadesh something in it every year? What Tosafot is suggesting is you have to be mechadesh something to make l'shem sukkah. Do you have to do that every year? The answer is probably, there are people who are choshesh for that, and therefore, if they have a sukkah that stands from year to year, they're mechadish. Mechadish means you can just lift up the schach, a certain section of the schach, just lift up it a little bit. It's not a significant item that you have to do, but people are generally choshesh for these qualifications of Beit Hillel and the Yerushalmi, to be mechadish badavar. Whether it's enough that you built it once, l'shem sukkah, and then for the rest of your life, probably it is okay. But in general, we're choshesh for that, and we try each year just to be mechadesh davar, to lift up one or two things in the sukkah, if it's something that sits around, especially with those gazebos that are there with the slats, it's probably a good idea to be mechadesh davar. It's not a significant undertaking to do it, and therefore it's probably worthwhile to be mechadesh the sukkah each year in that way in order to avoid any issue. All right, next Mishnah. The next Mishnah enters us into the world of very difficult sugya. That's the sugya of sukkah, gabe sukkah, and the issue of schach pasul, when you have a tree over the sukkah. So here the Mishnah says, Oseh sukkato tachad eilan. Someone who builds a sukkah under a tree, kilu atzal betoch habayit. It's equivalent to putting it in your house. Sukkah, gabe sukkah. If you have a sukkah on top of another sukkah, el yunak kishera. The upper sukkah is fine, but tachtona psula, and the lower sukkah is problematic. Nobody's living on the upper sukkah, tachtonak sheira. We're not going to delve into the Mishnah only because the Gemara is going to go through each of these items. Amar Rava, lo shanu ela bi'ilan shitilato mirube mechamato. It's only true when the tree that is over the sukkah is creating more shade than sunlight. Because it's creating more shade than sunlight, then under the tree, you can't have a kosher sukkah by definition, because the tree is not allowing enough sunlight to get through for you to have a kosher sukkah that your sukkah is providing tzel. The tzel is being provided by the tree and not by the sukkah. Aval. But if, chamato mirubeh mitzilato ksheira. On the other hand, if the sunlight that goes through the tree exceeds the amount of shade cast by the tree, then the sukkah underneath is fine. Mimai. How do you know that's true? Meditani, because the Mishnah says, Ki'ilu asau b'toch habayit. It says when you put it under the tree, it's the equivalent of it being made in the house. Loma le the mitne, ki'ilu asau b'toch habayit. Le'de psula. What does that add to the Mishnah? You could have just said psula. Why does the Mishnah say, oh, it's like you built it in the house? Just say that it's psula. Ella, hakamash malon, it comes to teach us, di ilan dum de the bayit. That when is the ilan a problem? When it looks like a house. Ma bayit silato mirube mechamato. Just like in a house, the tzel exceeds the chama, because you have a roof. That only when it casts more shade than sunlight is it problematic. The answer of the Gemara is the tree is only problematic when it functions like a roof, when it prevents the sunlight from getting through, and therefore the shade is being cast by the roof of the house, or by the tree, that's when the sukkah is problematic. You build a sukkah in your house, you have a problem, because you have a roof above you. You build a sukkah under a tree, you have a roof above you, so you have a problem. But if the tree is not providing the equivalent of a roof, meaning that there's more sunlight getting through than shade, then you're totally fine if you build the sukkah under the tree in that circumstance. Now the Gemara wants to know, is that really true? Why does that help you? Why does it help you that there's more sunlight coming through than there is shade from the tree? Ha, kamitzdari, sachach pasul, b'hadi sachach kasher. The sachach pasul now gets together with sachach kasher, and it ruins it for you. This statement of the Gemara is very difficult. What does one have to do with the other? You have a kosher sukkah sitting down below with sachach on it. You have a tree way up there that is not casting a lot of shade. More sunlight is getting through. Now all of a sudden the Gemara says, well, now you have sachach pasul together with sachach kasher. Where's their sachach pasul? Pieces of the tree that are still there, the branches are still there. Yeah, that's fine. But that shouldn't ruin the sachach that's down below. You have more sunlight getting through, and then the sachach below is casting a shadow. Because of that, the Rishonim have to come up with interesting ways to explain this. Right? Rashi, Kedarko, Bakodesh takes the simplest way to read it, which is, that's exactly what happens. You have a problem now because the tree above is considered to be sachach pasul. Anything that's under that tree is considered to be sachach pasul. And because of that, it ruins your sukkah. Why does it ruin your sukkah? Because the sachach pasul is distinct from the sachach kasher. If you have sachach kasher and sachach psula mixed together, then we could talk about the ksherah overwhelming the psula, and there's no problem. But when you're talking about the sachach pasul being up in the tree and the sachach ksherah being down below, you can't be mevatel it. You can't join the two of them, and because of that, the sachach pasul remains pasul and causes you a problem. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosafot, for a number of reasons, takes issue with Rashi's interpretation, and most of what he says, v'yamasukah shetachat ha'ilan mesuchechet kira'oi, shetzilatam rubam mechamata, lav mistaver shetipasel mishum tziruf schach pasul. Just because you have some other schach pasul above it, why should that impact the schach below? Even if it makes it schach pasul, you still have the majority of your schach being sheira, and it should be fine. So Tosafot reads the Gemara as saying, this is a case where together with the tree, you have tzilatam ruba michamata. The standalone sukkah does not have enough schach on it. Between the schach of the sukkah and the schach of the ilan, that's how you get the shade that you need. That's what it says. How do I know that? Because the Mishnah wouldn't have to tell you about a case where the sukkah has its own cell, and there was a tree above it that gave you full sunlight. Why should that matter? That's like a simple case. You don't even need a Mishnah to tell you about that. That should, certainly should be kasher. So it must be that the case we're speaking about here is a case where the tree together with the schach kasher is what's giving you the shade that you need. That's why the Gemara is asking here. Why do you think that it should be kasher? And then we'll have to look at the Gemara's answer to understand why Tosafot went in this direction. There are other Rishonim. The Bala Mor has what seemed to be a very interesting pshat. Although when he gets the answer of the Gemara, his pshat becomes the big Kiddush. In this stage of the Gemara, his pshat makes a lot of sense. And he says, it depends what's there first. If your sukkah is there first, and then the tree branches go on afterwards, then you had schach sheira. Because you had schach sheira, the tree afterwards can't change the fact that you had schach sheira on the sukkah. Now, the other way is where you build the sukkah under the tree. Now, in that case, when you built the sukkah, the schach that you built under that tree branches is psula, and you can't change that fact. You can never change. The fact that it was started and was made when it was made that way, it's psula from the beginning. So the Bala Mor, and from a question point, it makes a lot of sense. So it has to do with what's there first. Whatever's there first determines the nature of the schach on the sukkah. Problem comes now, what's the answer of the Gemara? The Gemara says, Amar Papa, b'shechavatan, when you put them down. Now, chavatan, according to Rashi, means that you pull the tree down and it connected to the schach. So what Rashi is saying is that you're making the tree part of the schach. Now, the benefit that you gain from that is not that it's kosher now, because it's still mechubar, it's still attached. The benefit you gain from that is that you can be mevatel it, because now the schach pasul and the schach shira are one. They're now one, and since they're one, the schach shira overwhelms the schach psula, and it's batel. Whereas before, where the schach of the tree was way up there, and pasul, you couldn't get rid of that schach psula because you didn't connect it with the schach that was shira down below. On the other hand, now, when you connect them together, you can be mevatel them because they become one entity. Once they become one entity, the schach shira can overwhelm the schach pasul, and now it is shira. Tosafot says that Dim Tomar, why does that help you when you do chavatan? Tosafot has to say something along the lines of Rashi, which is that the schach, when you bechuvet it, it becomes batel to the schach shera, and that allows it to function together with your schach shera, provide the shade. Because it's together with the schach shera, even though it's psulat, it's helping you to get to tziltam ruba mechamata, still the fact that there is more ksheira than psula, the ksheira is mevatel, the psula, and allows it to function on behalf of you for tziltam ruba mechamata. The Bala Mor, who says that the issue here is whether the tree was there first or the schach was there first, then he has to, in the end, say, b'chavatan, he has to come up with a massive chiddush over here to say that the chavatan is not like Rashi, which means to press it down, but rather shechavatan means you shake the tree, and then all the leaves fall off. By shaking the tree and taking off the leaves, you've indicated that you don't want the tree branches to be a part of the schach below. Because you took an action that separated the tree from the schach below, that's enough to make it that the tree itself doesn't affect the schach that's underneath it. Now you don't have a problem anymore, because now you've taken an activity that separates it and changes the dynamic here. By shaking the branches, you show that that tree is not a part of the schach below. And if it's not a part of the schach below, now you can be machshir that schach, because you've now taken the tree away from the schach itself. Rashi has an interesting sidebar that he notes over here, based on his explanation of shechavatan. He says that our roofs that have lattice work on them that hold up the roof that's on top of it, if you remove the roof and leave the lattice work there, you're allowed to place schach on top of that lattice work, and that will be a kosher sukkah. He says, despite the fact that the lattice work creates holes that are less than 3 tvachim, which halachically are lavud, and it's as if your roof is completely covered when you have that lattice work up there. Despite that fact, when you put schach sheira to fill in those holes, it's a kosher sukkah, because the schach sheira is mevatel, the schach tzula, or the lattice work, and therefore it's sheira. So Rashi has that finish. He says that if you take off the roof tiles and there's lattice work there, and you place kosher schach on top of it, it works, based on the answer of the Gemara, which is b'chavatan. As long as the empty space equals at least the amount of lattice work, or that is covered space that is there, then it's going to be kasher. So Gemara says, ibishchavatan, if you put them down there, my lememro, what's the chiddush? Maru teima, nigzor hecha de chavatan, ato hecha de lo chavatan. We would think putting a gzeira for the case where you do push them down to a case where you don't push them down. Mashvalan, de lo gazrinan. That we don't put a gzeira in for. Gemara says, hanami tanina. This whole idea of chavata, we already know. If he drapes over the sukkah, the gefen, a vine over there, at the dalat, he puts on some sort of squash, pumpkin type of branches that grow, or a kisus, which Rashi translates like an ivy, that he grows on top, and then he puts schach on top of them, sula. If the schach, kosher schach, is more than the item that's attached, or he cuts them, kshera, then there's no problem, they are kasher. So Mar says, hey, dami, what's the case there? Ilayim abishlo chavatan, if you weren't chovet those attached items, ha'akam itstarif schach pasul, schach kasher. Then you have the same problem that you had before, which is you have schach pasul together with schach kasher, and it's not mevatalet. Elav kshechavatan, it must be that he put them together. Shmamina, delo gazrina. From the Mishnah, you see that there is no gzera. Mar says, ma'ay udetei ma'ani milibi diavad. That Mishnah says, Hidda. If he had done it, then we say, Bidiavad, it's kasher. But the Chatchila, no. But we would say that to do that, the Chatchila, no. Mashmalan, that you're allowed to be Mavatel at the Chatchila. That you're allowed to put the Mechubar together with the kasher in order to avoid the problem. And so that's what the Gemara says. That even the Chatchila here, you can be Mavatel the Skach Pasul. Sukkah gav sukkah. So now you have a sukkah on top of another sukkah. What's the problem? Tanra Banan, it says, Basukot teshvu. Below Basukah, Shudachat sukkah. You can sit in a sukkah, but not in a sukkah that's under another sukkah. Below the sukkah should tachar ilan, and not a sukkah that's under a tree. Below the sukkah should tocha bayit, and it's in the house. It has to be a sukkah that you're sitting in, not a sukkah that's sitting inside of something else. So adarabba, the Gemara says, b'sukkot tarte mashma. When you read sukkot, sukkot is in plural. It sounds like you should have 2 sukkot. It actually sounds like it's better to have 2 sukkot. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, b'sukkat k'tiv. The k'tiv is chaser, which is 1. Now, as Tosafot points out, this is even according to the one who says Im La Mikra before, that we focus on Basukot, that we mentioned before. There were 3 Basukot, 2 of them written Chaser, 1 of them written Malay. And the question was, how do you darshan them? Do you darshan them as Basukot because the way it's pronounced? Or Basukat because that's the way it's written? And before we had a machlokot of Im La Mikra, Im La Mesoret. Tosafot says, even according to the one who says Im La Mikra, he still has to acknowledge that there is a Mesoret, that it's written Chaser. And that has to have some significance. And that's the significance here. That is besukkah. Means you sit in 1 sukkah, not in multiple sukkot. Multiple sukkot doesn't mean you switch from sukkah to sukkah, but it means that you can't have a sukkah underneath another sukkah or subsumed in another sukkah. So I'm Rabbi Yirmiya. Pi'amim sheshtehem ksherot, pi'amim sheshtehem psulot. Pi'amim shetachtona kshera ve'elyona psula. Pi'amim shetachtona psula ve'elyona kshera. So now you have here 4 permutations. You have a case, sometimes when you have a sukkah on top of another sukkah, they're both ksherim. Sometimes when you have a sukkah on top of another sukkah, then they both are psulim. Then sometimes when you have it, a sukkah on top of sukkah, the tachtona, the bottom one is kasher, and the elyona, the top one is psula, and then vice versa. Sometimes the bottom one is psula, and the upper one is kashera. So those are the four permutations, and the Gemara goes through each one of them. Piyamim sheshtem kasherot. Hechidami. When is it that they're both kasher? What's that case? Kigon. Shetachtona chamota meruba mitzilta. The lower sukkah does not have enough schach on it that it would be a kosher sukkah independently. It has very little schach on it. And the upper one has schach, that is kasher. And the upper sukkah is within 20 amot of the base, the floor of the bottom sukkah. So therefore, the schach of the upper sukkah is schach both for the upper sukkah and for the lower sukkah. And that's why it really becomes one sukkah. There's only one sukkah now, which is the schach from the upper sukkah, that's the only schach. The schach over the bottom sukkah is meaningless because it's chamatam ruba mitzilta, and it's not meaningful there. That's how you have shtehem ksherot. Famim sheshtehem psulot. Sometimes they're both problematic. Echidomi. What's that case? Kigon de tarvayu, both of them, tziltan miruba mechamatan. It's a case where the shade is greater than the sunlight. So therefore, the bottom one is a problem of sukkah betoch sukkah, because the upper one is a kosher sukkah. And the problem is, from the floor of the Elyona to its schach is above 20 amot. Not from the ground level, but from the top of the tachtona, where the base of the Elyona is more than 20 amot up. So the upper one is pasol because its schach is too high. The bottom one is problematic because it's a sukkah, tachat sukkah. Pi'amim shetachtona kshira ve'elyona psula. It's sometimes when the lower one is kasher and the upper one is psula, yichidami. That's the case. The lower one has more shade than sunlight. Ve'elyona chamata miruba mitzilta. And the upper one, the sunlight is greater than the tzel. And they're both within 20 amot. This line in the Gemara is very problematic. Leads to the Rabbeinu Tam to come up with a big chiddush. But the question is, why does it matter if it's within 20 amot? The upper schach is not meaningful at all. The upper schach right now is chamata miruba mitzilta. It's like having a tree that's chamata miruba mitzilta. Why does it matter whether it's within 20 amot or above 20 amot? And the Gemara here says it has to be within 20 amot. Why does that matter at all? So that we have to deal with, that we'll get to, we'll discuss what the Rishonim say about this. Upe'amim shel yona kshera v'taktona psula. When is the upper one kasher and the bottom one pasul? Echidami, kigon, titarvayu tzilatan miruba mechamatan. A case where they're both, the tzel is miruba mechamatan, v'kaim el yona b'toch esrim. And the el yona is within 20 amot. So the bottom one is problematic because it's sukkah b'toch sukkah, or it's a sukkah under another sukkah. The upper one's fine now because its schach is within 20 amot of its floor, and that is fine. The Gemara says about the whole braita pshita. Of course. Everything you've described here is just simply an extrapolation of the dinim that we know. You can't have a sukkah toch sukkah, and you need your schach to be within 20 amot, and you have to have schach that is tzilta meruba mechamata. If I tell you all those three dinim, you can tell me all of the information that I just gave you here. What chiddush is there here? The Gemara says, tachtona kshira ve'elyona psula itzrichale. The case where the tachtona is kshira and the elyona is psula, that's the case I need. I would have thought nigzor dilma mitzdar schach pasul ba'al schach kasher. Maybe we should join together the schach pasul with the schach kasher, and that would be problematic. Mashmalon that we don't say that. Now, why don't we say that? We just had in the Gemara before with the tree, when the tree was up there, that it only works b'shechavatan, when you put them together. Over here, it's saying that, oh, maybe we should think that it is problematic. And the Gemara says, Kamash Malan, that it's not problematic. What is distinct about this case vis-a-vis the case of the tree before? That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. The Rabbeinu Tam comes up with a Masech Chiddush, which is, Telemala mi'asrim lo choshiv schach pasul. When something's above 20 amot, it's not considered to be schach pasul. Machar she'en apsul al machmat gova. Because the problem there is not that the schach is psula. The problem is that it's just too high. So the schach is ksheira, it just happens to be too high. It's a technical problem, not schach psula. And therefore it won't ruin the sukkah. On the other hand, when you talk about a tree is schach pasul. Why is it schach pasul? Because it's attached to the ground. So Rabbeinu Tam distinguishes between the cases saying that by the tree, that's schach pasul, and that's why it ruins the sukkah unless you do chavata. Over here by the sukkah, it's not a problem. Didn't we just say in the Braita that the case that we just mentioned is a case where the upper one is inside of 20 amot? That's no problem. The Rabbeinu Tam gets rid of that girsa. The Garis Rabbeinu Tam, Tachtona Kshira Ve'Yuna Psula, Echidami, Gagon Del Yuna, Chamatam Ruba Mitzilta, V'Tachtona, Tzilatam Ruba Michamata, V'Kaima Tachtona Betol Kaf. And the bottom one is within 20 amot. In that the bottom sukkah is schach, is within 20 amot. Not about the upper sukkah. The way he reads in our Gemara is that it's the upper sukkah that's within 20 amot. Rabbeinu Tam gets rid of that because it's very hard. As I mentioned before, why does it matter? The schach is within 20. So Rabbeinu Tam says that's not the case. It's actually that the schach is above 20. And that's what the problem is of the schach psula. And that's why it doesn't affect the bottom schach. So that's the way the Rabbeinu Tam distinguishes. Rashi says that the upper sukkah has to be within 20 amot of the ground in order that it has schach kshera. So even though it's pasul because it's chamata meruba mitzilta, nevertheless the schach on top of it is schach kshera, and therefore it doesn't invalidate the schach that's below. On the other hand, if it was above 20 amot, then Rashi says that'll be schach pasul. And since it's schach pasul, it'll affect the schach on the sukkah tachtona, because that's the same case as the tree. So for Rashi, if the schach above is above 20 amot, then it becomes schach pasul, and if it's schach pasul, it's no different than the tree before. And that would invalidate the sukkah below. Only when it is below the 20 amot, and that's what the Braita said, that the case is a case where it's below 20 amot. Since it's below 20 amot, it's really schach kasher, just not kasher for this sukkah because chamata meruba mitzilta. But because of that, it doesn't affect the sukkah below and invalidate the sukkah that is found below. The Ra'ivan, on the other hand, reconciles between these two based on his understanding of chavatan before. The problem with the tree before was that it overhung the schach kasher. And because it overhung the schach kasher, it made it into schach pasul. But if the branches of the tree are sitting between the schach kasher, then it's fine, because the schach kasher below makes it into a sukkah kshira, because it's silta meruba michamata, similar to the way that Rashi says, not like Tosafot. And because it is a sukkah kshira without the tree won't invalidate it when the branches of the tree sit in between the kasher schach. And that's what chavatan means. Chavatan means you ensure that the branches don't sit over your kasher schach, they sit in between your kasher schach. And so too over here, the case where the elyona is not problematic for the tachtona is the case even when the elyona is above 20 amot, and even where the elyona and the schach above 20 amot is still pasul, unlike what the Rabbeinu Tam says. But why over here do we not worry about it? It's a case where the schach of the upper sukkah is lined up to sit between the schach of the lower sukkah. And since the lower sukkah has tzilta meruba michamata by itself, it's a kosher sukkah. And the schach above it doesn't invalidate it because it's sitting in between the schach kasher below. It's the equivalent of chavatan. The way that chavatan works for the tree, that's basically what happened here with the sukkah al-gabi sukkah, and that's why it's kasher according to the Ra'ivad. So in the end, we have four ways of dealing with the reconciliation between the Gemara before with the tree and the case of the sukkah over here. According to Rashi, the reconciliation is that the case over there was talking about schach pasul, because it's the tree, it's mechubar. And over here we're talking about schach kasher, because this second sukkah, the upper sukkah, is below 20 amot. It happens to be that the schach is not enough to make the upper sukkah kasher, but it's still schach kasher, and that's why it does not invalidate it over here. We don't worry about the gzeira over here, we don't worry about the problem of a sukkah on top of a sukkah, because the bottom sukkah has everything it needs to be kasher. And therefore, we don't worry about the possibility of schach pasul above it. And that's what the Gemara says, that we're not choshesh for the fact that if the schach was above 20 amot, it would cause you a problem, because this schach is already below 20 amot, and therefore we don't worry about such an instance. Then we had the position of the Rabbeinu Tam, that it makes a difference about how high you are. In the case before, it was a case where the tree is above it, because the tree is schach pasul. Schach pasul causes a problem for you when it's not together with the schach kasher. On the other hand, our case over here is a case where the schach is above 20 amot. Since it's above 20 amot, it's not schach pasul, it's schach kasher. There happens to be a technical problem that it's above 20 amot. And therefore, it does not invalidate the schach that is below. So that would be the nature of the thought behind the gzeira here, is that you would have thought that this schach is pasul, because it's schach pasul on top of schach shera. The Gemara says, don't worry about it because it's above 20 amot. Then we have the position of Tosafot. Tosafot says the difference in the cases is that the case before, the sukkah itself did not have enough schach. It's only together with the tree that you got enough schach to make it kasher, the sukkah shera. On the other hand, over here, you're talking about the bottom sukkah has plenty of schach on it. So you would have thought, wait, we worry about the sukkah above it. The answer is no, because the bottom sukkah has enough to work on its own. And then we have the position of the Ravid. The Ravid says that the difference in the cases is, depends on where the sukkah pasul is located. If it overhangs the sukkah kasher, then it ruins the sukkah kasher. If it ruins the sukkah kasher, you have a problematic sukkah. That was the case of the tree before. In the case where the sukkah pasul is sitting in between the sukkah kasher, it does not invalidate the sukkah, because you have enough sukkah kasher for the sukkah independent of the sukkah pasul. And that's what chavatan meant before. And that's the case that we're talking about over here. The case we're talking about over here is basically the case of chavatan. The upper sukkah has its sukkah lined up in between the sukkah kasher of the bottom sukkah. And that's whether it's above 20 amot, below 20 amot, he makes no such distinction. Even though he has a girsa that's similar to the Rabbeinu Tam in the Braita, nevertheless, he doesn't come to the conclusion the Rabbeinu Tam comes, which is that sukkah above 20 amot is not an issue. Says it's an issue unless it's lined up in between the sukkah kasher below, and that's what he says the case is here of the sukkah tachat sukkah. And you would have thought we're gozer to a case where it's not lined up. The answer is no, kamashman, since it's lined up between the sukkah kasher, it's okay. So those are the four different approaches to explain the gzeira over here, as well as to reconcile between this and the gemara before with the tree. Okay, we'll stop over here.